All right. Welcome, everybody. This is going to be the fourth lesson in our 12 lessons of Bible study. And for some of you, this may be good news. This is the shortest lesson of all of the 12 lessons that we have. So this is going to be very short, very sweet, and should be plenty of time for questions, and we can get to the refreshments earlier tonight. I want to review just a little bit of where we've been so far, and for those of you who are here for the first time tonight, you may not understand everything that has happened thus far. But what we're doing is we're covering most of the Bible in 12 lessons, and we're taking the 12 most important stories, because most of the Bible is basically a history of God working with people on the earth. And that's what that is. So last week we saw that we don't know exactly how long ago, but it was thousands and thousands of years. God decided that because people were so evil and so bad that he had to start all over again with a brand new small group of human beings. And so he sent a flood full of water that covered the entire earth. Everybody drowned except for 8 people on a boat. And we saw last time that there was good, anthropological evidence, evidence from history, from ancient cultures that show that this kind of story is in their histories, from people all over the world, over 200 people groups, ancient culture groups, that have a story just like that in their histories. And we said that didn't prove that the flood happened, but there's good indication that something very large, very spectacular happened way back when. We don't know how far back. So that was our story last week, and the people who got off the boat got out, and their families began to grow, and they had children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and so people began to multiply and to fill the earth up, is what we saw last week. Now, tonight's lesson happens sometime later. We don't know exactly how long later this happened after the flood, but it seems to be a fairly significant period of time, large period of time. But we don't know exactly because it doesn't tell us exactly how many years, so we have to guess a little bit. But here we see, tonight, in tonight's lesson, we have a very important development. This book is really God's message to people. And we saw in lesson 2 that he promised that one day he would send one person that would destroy all of the evil in the world. And that's a nice thought, because all of us recognize that there are bad things that happen in the world. Kidnappings, murders, crime. And it's all over the place. Everybody has laws. People have governments to take care of criminals and things like that. Marriages fall apart. Babies get killed. Wars happen. And so there's plenty of terrible things in the earth. And God said that he was going to send one person to take care of all of these problems, all of this evil in the world. And that's basically what these stories are leading us to. We're going to find out who this person is later on. But tonight, we have a very interesting development about how God was going to send that one person. And we're going to our story tonight is in the is in chapter 11 of the first book of Genesis. So if you want to turn in the red Bible here, it's on page 8. Okay? Page 8. Okay, so it's on page 8, and what we're going to do now, over this long period of time, Noah's ancestors, the fellow on the boat and his sons and their families, they started having lots of children and lots of grandchildren. And by the time we turn to Genesis chapter 11 in our story, as history has been going along, there has been a lot of people born. And so we're talking about, by the time chapter 11 begins, we're talking about a very large community of people. We don't know how many, but It could be as many as maybe millions of people. Okay, so we're talking about a lot of people here. And let's see what happened. The question we asked last week was, did Noah's descendants, his sons, his daughters, grandsons, granddaughters, did they learn anything from the flood? That's the big question. Did they learn anything? Did they learn to be more obedient to God? That's the question. And let's see what was going on in Genesis chapter 11. So we're going to read verse 1, and it says, "Now the whole world had one language and a common speech." Okay? They all spoke the same language. Well, that's not true for you and me. I mean, we can all speak English, but some of you here speak Chinese, some of you here speak Japanese, some of you here speak Malaysian, right? I speak a real bad Spanish. Margarita speaks Spanish. The Spanish I speak is not the same as the one that she speaks. But anyway, so I speak real bad Spanish. Very small word, you know. But anyway, but see, we have all these different people here. We have all these different languages represented. Well, at this time in history, that was not true. Everybody spoke the same language. And a big question is, where did all these languages come from? That has been a big question for linguists, people who study language, that nobody exactly knows for sure, at least the scientists. They have no idea where the languages came from. But tonight's story is going to tell us where it came from. So let's keep going. Everybody spoke one language and had a common speech. And as men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar, and they settled there. Now, where is Shinar? I'm glad you asked me that question. Let me show you on the map. You see this map here that we have on the floor? What's that? All right, so if you'll look on the map, I have a map on the floor here, and this is the continent of Africa, and this is the little peninsula, the Saudi Arabian Peninsula. Well, the land of Shinar is, and here's the Persian Gulf. You see the Persian Gulf where we just had the war back there in January and February? The territory or the land right north of the top of the Persian Gulf, this is the area of Shinar. It's presently in the western part of the country of Iran and in Iraq. That is where Shinar is. So it's right in the center of the Middle East, right along the border between Iran and Iraq. Back in the 80s, they had a 10-year, 9-year war there. And they fought back and forth and back and forth, and the Iranians would gain some ground, the Iraqis would gain some ground. But basically, they were fighting in that very same area of where we're talking about. The land of Shinar is right, I'll put the stick right here, right there. Okay? You see that right about there? Something like that? The Middle East, right? The smack dab right there in the Middle East. Okay, so that's where the land of Shinar is. And this is where all of these people, they all migrated, they traveled, and they settled right in this big plain. There was a big plain there. Everybody could fit. They could be together, talk together, work together, build their homes, build their families, and they all basically stayed right together. And that's what they did. Now, if you remember what God told Noah after he got off of the boat and the waters went down, do you remember what he told Noah to do? He and his descendants. Do you remember what he told Noah to do? He said, have lots of children, and what did God tell him to do? Remember? Let's go back and see if we can find it. Back in, let me see, chapter 9, verse 1. Now, this is what God said to Noah. Look at the command. If you want to turn back, this is on page 6, at the bottom of the page where the big 9 is. It says, "Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number," and look at these last three words, "fill the earth." That means fill it up, spread out, have your families, and spread out and cover the earth. Fill it up. That's what he was basically telling him to do. What did these people do in chapter 11? They didn't do that. They all stayed together in a large group, and they all traveled in a large group, and they found this big plain, and they stopped there, and they said, this is where we want to stay. This is a great place to stay. So right away, are they being obedient to God? Or are they being disobedient? Yeah, they're being disobedient. They're not doing what God said. So that's problem number one here. They were not doing what God said. So in verse 3, then they said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. And then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. Well now, this is very interesting. Here, they're staying together. In verse 4, the end of verse 4, do you see what they were doing? They don't want to be scattered over the face of the whole earth. That is direct violation of what God said. So here's proof that we know that they knew what God wanted them to do. God says, spread out. They said, no, we don't want to spread out. We want to stay together. And there's a little saying in America, and I don't know if there's something the same in your country or maybe in your culture. In America, we say there's a little saying that says, there is safety in numbers. In other words, the more you have around you, the safer you are. And there, that, and generally, that could be a true principle. But I can ask you a few questions. When people disobey God, it doesn't make any difference how many there are, because that was the big lesson of the flood. Everybody else decided to disobey God except for Noah and his family. Everybody else said, forget God, we don't care about God, we're going to disobey God, we're going to do what we want. And what happened to all those people? Well, they all died, right? If you remember what Cain, the very first son that was born, he disobeyed God and he was separated out of God's presence. If you remember what Adam did, Adam and Eve, he disobeyed God, and he was sent out of the garden. And if you remember what the devil did, or Lucifer up in heaven, way before any kind of earth history started, up in heaven, he decided to disobey God, and he was thrown out. So you have all of these examples of disobedience and penalty, disobedience, penalty, disobedience, penalty, all the way down, story after story after story. And now here these people are, and they're doing it again. See? Now, I have a hunch. I have an idea here. Where I think they might have gotten their idea that they could get away with their disobedience. Do you remember after the flood, if you look back again in chapter 9, do you remember what the sign was at the end of the flood that showed the people that God would not send another flood again? The rainbow. Very good. We see a rainbow in the sky. We say, oh, look, we drive down the road and we see a nice rainbow. We go, oh, isn't that pretty? Look at the colors and oh, it's nice. And sometimes you see a double rainbow. You see two of them, you know, when it's really rainy. Well, the Bible says that the rainbow in the sky is a sign of God's promise that he will never destroy the entire world again with water. That's his promise. That's his sign. And you know what I think? These people here in chapter 11, you know, after the flood came, it started raining, and it would stop, and it would rain, and it would stop, and it would rain, and it would stop. And I would imagine that after some of those rainstorms, they would see another rainbow. Because we see storms sometimes. We see rainbows here. I imagine it was the same back then. And you know what I think those people thought in their minds when they saw the rainbow? Instead of saying, oh, look, there's a rainbow. God is going to not penalize us again. He's going to save us from any more floods. Instead of being glad that they saw the rainbow and they saw God's sign, you know what I think they did? I think they thought in their minds, oh, look, there's a rainbow. No more penalty. Yay! And they thought that they could go off and do whatever they wanted and get away with it and not be punished anymore. Because they could say, hey, look, we're going to go off and do this, and God's not going to kill us with another flood. Yay! You see what they did? I think that's what happened. in their minds, they took this nice sign from God and twisted the meaning of it. See? God said, I'm going to show kindness to you. I'm going to show mercy to you. I'm not going to destroy you anymore with water. And maybe they thought, maybe God's not going to do anything to us anymore. And so here they are, back in chapter 11, and they didn't learn anything about the flood. They didn't learn anything about God's punishment. They didn't care about God. They knew what God wanted them to do, spread out over the earth. And here they are, and what are they doing? They're staying together, close group, safety in numbers. See, that's what they're doing. Doing exactly the opposite of what God told them to do. And on top of that, look at verse 4. Look at what they want to do. They want to build a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may, now look what this says, make a name for ourselves. They wanted to become famous. They wanted to become important people. They wanted to have a history that everybody would just marvel at. They would say, oh, these people were so great. They stayed in a big, strong city, and they built this tower that's so high you couldn't see the top. And they became famous and powerful. They were looking to be famous people of the world. They wanted people to remember them. And then on top of that, the last of it says they did not want to be scattered because these people were filled with pride. They thought they were the best people in the world. They wanted to be remembered. They wanted to be famous. For all their generations, they could look back up and say, oh, our grandfather was very famous. They built this tower. And they became famous, and they were filled with pride. They didn't care about God. They probably saw the rainbows and said, yay, God's not going to get us. And they completely misunderstood what that sign was. Well, it's kind of a sad thing, but in verse 5, we begin to see what God's response was. I remember last time when we looked at the flood, the people were wicked and disobedient. People were violent. The very foundation of society and culture was crumbling. People would marry anybody who they wanted to. They didn't care about any values. They didn't care about relationships. They didn't care about their neighbors. And it got so bad. Well, here, then we saw the way God came down and looked at the situation. And God was still faithful to warn those people, to communicate to those people. And here it's very much the same way. These people are being very disobedient. They don't care about God. And look at what God does. In verse 5, it says, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that men were building. He's still interested, even in disobedient people. He is God. These people are the ones that he made. And he wants them to do what's right. So he comes down. He says, let's look at this tower. Let's check out the city. And in verse 6 says, the Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. What he's saying is if these people continue to speak the same language and they stay all together and their minds and their hearts are going to start doing wrong things and more wrong things and more wrong things, and they can all speak the same language at the same time, that is going to increase the amount of evil because they can all communicate very clearly. Okay? So, he says that if they're all going to stay together, if they're not going to separate like I told them to, then God says, I have to do something that will make them spread out. Okay? Now, watch what he does. Oh, and the reason he says that that everything they could do would be possible is because they're all on the same wavelength, as we say here in the States. They all understand each other. So in verse 7, it says, come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other. They're all speaking one language. God says, I'm going to come down and make confusion among them. And so, in verse 8, the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. And from there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Now, what it says, what he did, was that they were all speaking one language. And if we were to dramatize this, if we were to have a role play, you know what a role play is, where everybody is an actor, and we all get involved and we act out this scene. People would be working on the tower, and they would be passing bricks up, and they would have the mortar and the cement, and they'd be putting the brick. Give me another brick, and then, you know, and they would be putting these things together, and the guy would be mixing the cement down on the ground, and they would be passing the bricks up, and as they're talking, as they're measuring cement and tar and making these bricks and working on the construction plans, God comes down, and in a matter of seconds, immediately, all of a sudden, the guy who's mixing the brick starts speaking what he thinks is his normal language, and his assistant doesn't understand him because he speaks another language. In other words, it happened so quickly that they had no idea what happened. And the guy way up on the tower, he's asking his assistant to pass some more bricks, so he's saying, pass me some more bricks. And he's going, Hosadama, Hosamaba. And he's speaking the language that he thought he always talked, but his boss doesn't understand him. And instantaneously, right in 1 or 2 seconds, everybody is yelling and screaming at each other because they're not understanding each other. Because somehow their languages were changed by God. And as they began to get frustrated, I would imagine some people started fighting with each other. You know, because here they know each other, they're friends, they're work associates. And now all of a sudden he's saying all these weird sounds that he doesn't understand. And the other guy says, why don't you just talk English to me? Or why don't you talk Japanese or whatever language it was in the beginning? And they're getting very frustrated. I would imagine some people got violent. And all of a sudden everybody you ever work too hard and you get a headache? You ever do too much thinking and you get a headache? You ever read too much and you get a headache? I would imagine this gave people a lot of headaches, because they couldn't communicate to each other. And what happened was God confused their languages by giving these people a variety of different languages. And that shouldn't surprise us, because remember, when God created the world, he created hundreds, maybe thousands of a variety of birds, thousands of varieties of fish. It's not too hard for God to give people and groups of people their own individual language. And what he did was he gave these languages, and people got together. And all the French people, I'll use this as an illustration, all the people who found out that they could understand each other and that was the French language, they went off in one direction. And all the people who could speak Mandarin all found each other, because they said, oh, what's up? Hi! And they found somebody and they understood, so they all ran together and they got in their groups. And then the Mandarin-speaking people went off this way. And the Spanish people, they got together and they went off this way. And the Swahili language, all those people found each other and they went off, and they went off in this direction. And so what happened was the people got together in the small groups that they found they could understand each other by talking, and they stayed together, and they said, hey, what in the world is going on here? I don't know. All these people are making all these weird sounds. Well, I don't understand I understand you, but I don't understand all these other people. And what happened was God separated these people into their different language groups, and they spread out because they didn't want to stay next to people that they couldn't understand. That's why you have, in cities today, you have small areas. If you have a large city like Chicago or New York, you have a group of people, and they all pretty much stay together because they all may speak Spanish. And then you may have a whole other group in a city that may speak Korean because they all understand each other. See? Well, see, these people are pulled together by their language because that is the way they understand. That is the way they communicate. But they don't like to spread out. You won't find a Korean living next door to a Spanish speaker, living next door to a French speaker, living next door to an English speaker, living next door to a Zulu speaker. It doesn't work that way because the neighbors cannot understand each other. And so what they do is they either stick real good close together or they spread out so they can just communicate among themselves. And that's exactly what happened in this lesson. They tried to stay together. They were very disobedient. God said to spread out. And you remember at the end of last lesson, we said that something forced these people to spread out over the face of the whole earth. And this is what happened. God came down and confused their languages by giving them a variety of languages. And all of the people who could speak the same language in these groups found each other, and then they began to spread out. Now, you might be sitting here thinking, why in the world would God do something like that? Is anybody thinking that here? Why would God do something like that? Why would He get these people so confused that they couldn't live with each other? Was it such a bad thing that they stayed together in one big group? Well, yes, it was. There was a major problem with them staying together. The major problem was back up in verse 4, it says they want to make a name for themselves. See, they were thinking of themselves. They were not thinking about God. They were not thinking about God's promise to send that person. And if these people had stayed together, they would have messed up God's plan. Because they would have stayed together, and anything they wanted to do, it says in verse 6, anything that they wanted to do, they could do it. Because they could all communicate. And God wanted to move these people out and separate them and spread them out over the whole earth so that they could not do all of the evil that they thought they wanted to do. So God was protecting them from themselves. See? Now, another big question that comes along is, okay, if that's what God did, He spread all these people out, and they don't speak the same language. They speak one language here, and another language over there, and another language over here, and another language way over there. How is God going to get the news about this promised person? How is He going to get the news to all of these people who don't communicate with each other? That is what is going to be our lesson for next week. Okay? Next week we're going to find out, now that He's got all these people spread out all over the world, we're going to find out how... We could ask the question, which group did He start with? Did He start with the Chinese? Did He start with the Russians? Did He start with the French? Did He start with the English? We're going to find out next week which group He started with to get this message to all of the peoples. Because see, essentially, what this lesson tells us is that the God who made the Bible, or let me back up, the God who made the world, the God who wrote this book down for us through His people, the God who created the first man and the first woman is also the very same God who created all of the languages in the world. And that means that His promise to send this one person to destroy evil and to defeat evil was meant also, this promise was meant for every group of people in the whole world. He wants everybody in every culture group and every language group, He wants every single one to learn of this promise and how He fulfilled His promise. Okay? Now, I'll put in some extra information here. I've got a few minutes left. If God is responsible for the languages of people, that means He's also responsible for the culture of people. And He is also responsible for our physical appearances as ethnic people groups. Okay? Now, most everybody in this room is from Oriental background. We have Japanese, Chinese, Taiwanese, Chinese, Malaysian, right? Did I leave anybody out from the Orient? Now, there, if you look, I want to show you something. Back in chapter 10, we have the result of the people spreading out all over the face of the world. In chapter 10, if you have a red Bible like mine here, in chapter 10, right above the chapter 10, it says the Table of Nations. What that is a listing, it's a list of all of the people that began to spread out after God confused their languages and gave them different languages to speak. Okay? And so we have, you can just see, these are strange names here. All these different names, and these are the people who spread out. Now, archaeologists and anthropologists have been able to find out almost where every single one of these people moved to. They know exactly where they went. And more or less, what they did was, the tower that they built was right about here, right about there, and most of the people, there were three sons, so some of the people went down into the Saudi Arabian Peninsula here, some of the people went over to Africa, and they populated this part of Africa right about in here, some of the people went east, and they went into India, and some of these other places, they went up into China and into Mongolia. And then other people went north. They came up this way, and they went through the Mediterranean Sea, and they came up into Europe, and here they came up into what we call Russia right now. And they can trace where these people went. And they have actual archaeological information and evidence to show that basically the when they began to spread out, they kind of went like, this is about as far as they can trace them, in a big circle just about like that. That's as far as they can trace them. And one very bright student, the last time I taught this, said, where did the Chinese come from? Are the Chinese listed in chapter 10? Or are the Japanese listed in chapter 10? And I had to do a little research to find out, are the Chinese listed specifically in chapter 10? The answer is, I'm sorry, no, they're not listed. But neither are the Americans, either. So you're not alone. But what's that? Well, it doesn't make a difference who's the chosen. No, at this point, nobody is the chosen people. So, but essentially what happened is, we believe that the Chinese, Southeast Asian people, Japanese, Taiwanese, that these people are definitely related, and that they either came from one of the groups that traveled in the south of Asia, or they were one of the ones that came up here and then they went this way. But they do know that Eskimo Indians in Alaska, and they do know also that all of the North American and South American Indians are all related genetically. But we're all related genetically anyway. Somewhere along the line, we all can trace our ancestry all the way back to the early parts of civilization. Now, let me give you one other. Let me give you a question. Does anybody know why the Orientals appear physically the way they do? And the way Westerners appear the way they do, and the way Indians appear the way they do, and the way black people with their darker skin. Does anybody know how that happened? You were just gonna ask me that, okay. Because there is an answer for that. There is an answer. There's a very simple answer. And I don't know if I can explain it simply. I can try. Essentially, there was a scientist who was also a Roman Catholic priest who lived in France, right there, and his name was Gregor Mendel. And I'm not a scientist, and I'm not a geneticist, and I'm not a biologist. You know, science bores me to tears. I just don't like science. But anyway, if I read too many science books, I go crazy. But he began to do experiments in heredity. You know what heredity is? Heredity is the science that discovers why you look like your parents. Okay? And essentially, when you have a generational offspring, in other words, we all have parents, and we all have similarities with our mother and our father. And there is a science called heredity. And that is the study of why offspring look like their parents and why those offspring look like their parents. So it's the science of heredity and genetics. Now, the word genetics comes from the word genes, and inside our bodies have these little pieces of information called genes. And when a baby is formed, that all of the information on how that baby is going to look, how that baby is going to appear, hair color, eye color, skin color, all of that is in this little thing called genes. And so you have genes of a father, genes of a mother. They come together when the baby is formed, and all of that information makes that offspring appear to be similar, sometimes in personality, in height, sometimes in intelligence. All of that is already there in the information called genes. Now, Gregor Mendel, our scientist, priest, who lived in France, began to do some experiments. And his experiments were with little green peas. You know what little peas are, the vegetable? Little green balls, and you eat them with a fork, and they slide off all the time, so you have to use a spoon. Okay, but anyway, he began to experiment with different peas, and he found out that if he could control three factors in peas, he found that he could change the physical shape and appearance and the general structure of the whole pea. And he found out that there were three major factors. One of them was, I'm gonna get my notes out and cheat here for a minute because I don't want to give you the wrong information. Let me see. All right, the three factors were a changing environment or a changing atmosphere. In other words, something that was unsteady. That could be temperature, that could be heat, it could be humidity, how wet or dry the climate is. So that's one factor, a changing environment. The second thing was a small population, a small number. And the third factor was taking all these three conditions and reproducing the peas under these kind of conditions. And when you take human beings, you have all of these three factors involved when the people began to spread out from where they had been before. Now think about it for just a minute. You've got a small group going this way, you got a small group going this way, small group going this way, small group going this way, small group. Every which way there were small groups going out. They were forced to stay in small groups because they spoke their language. Okay? They had to go through extreme differences. The people who went down here encountered desert. The people who went over here encountered mountains. The people who came out here encountered a lot of water. The people who went across in here encountered a lot of desert. So see, you have all of these varieties of atmosphere changes, humidity changes, the diet, the food that they ate changed. The people who went east found different food, sources of food, than the people who went south. And the people who went south found different sources of food than the people who went east. So their diet was different. Their atmosphere was different. You had a small group, and they had to reproduce among themselves. And those are the three conditions that can change the physical features of human beings. So essentially, the further east the people went, the shapes of their eyes began to change. The color of their skin began to change. If you want to know what color human skin is, do you know what color it is? You know what color it really is? Is it white, red, black, yellow, or what? Anybody want to guess? What's that?
Oriental yellow.
Nope. Any doctor can confirm what I'm going to tell you. Skin color is clear. There is something in the skin color, it's called pigment. And pigment is one of those pieces of information in your gene. And you can change the information on the pigment in your gene into different color. How can you change it? Diet, climate, inbreeding, small group. If you take maybe three Japanese families, for instance, and you have them always stay together, change their diet back and forth, and always keep their sons and their daughters marrying and marrying and marrying and marrying, you can actually change the way they will appear in four or five generations. That is how you control or change the genes, that information that tells who you're going to look like and be like. Because those factors can change who we end up looking like. So the further people went east, the further their features began to change into the way Orientals look today. The further the people went south and into Africa because of the different climate conditions, diet and food and things like that, skin color, their pigment became darker. It wasn't because they were out in the sun too long. That is not true. Black people are not black because they stayed out and baked. That's not true. They didn't do that. That's not, it's in the genes in their body. See? That's why, and see again, their hair, generally speaking, it's very curly, right? And so that is in their genes, in that little bit of information. Okay? So what you have, it's interesting because scientists know, now they know, what causes change in heredity, change in people, change in peas, change in, what they do is that when they grow big carrots and big vegetables and things like that, big animals, they're always looking for the best, the biggest and the best, and they want to make it bigger and better. Well, in human beings, the very three things, small group, inbreeding, and changing climate, were the very three things that we see were the result of God scattering these people. See? Scientists, linguists, anthropologists, they have no idea what caused the ethnic differences that are represented in this room. They don't know what caused it. They know the scientific explanation, but they don't know what caused all those factors to come together at one point in history to make the nations of the world. The Bible tells us it was disobedience of human beings. God spread them out with languages, and when they spread out, the ethnic varieties that we see represented in this room was the way it came about. Okay? Let's see if we have any questions. Okay, the question is, if they had spread out before God had forced them out, would they still have had the varieties that we see today? Well, that really is a question that we don't know for sure. There's a good chance that the people group still could have appeared because of the traveling, because of the changing food sources, because of the harsher conditions, weather conditions. Some of them went over mountains, some went through deserts, and those kinds of experiences can change with changing food, inbreeding. It's really hard to say whether they would have looked the same as we see people today.
I think it's basically the environment.
But it's interesting, fairly recently, scientists came out after doing studies and studies and studies on human beings, and they all agreed now that all human beings had one mother originally. That's a new finding, that they believe that every human being on the world came from one woman. And that's science talking. That's not the Bible. That's science talking. Somebody asked me one time, what color was Noah before the traveling? And obviously, again, there's another question. We have no idea. He may have been gray, you know, for all we know. You know, maybe you could take, a black person and a yellow and a red Indian and a white person and kind of throw them all together and, you know, put them in a pot and stir them up. And maybe that's the color that Noah was. I don't know. But, yeah, he was clear. Maybe that was it.